First Peter chapter number 2. And as a church together and as Christians, the bottom dollar is that we press on in Christ. Amen. Not in the strength and the power of ourselves, but in the dynamite of the gospel, His power, His ability. Boy, so many people today, I just don't know where to start. Just so thank you. Thank you very much for the worship and the singing, and those who played, and John and Teresa and our graduates. I'm so thankful to be in this church. And I love you all with all of my heart. Thank you this morning. 1 Peter chapter number 2. And for the next few moments, I want to preach to you on verses number 13 down through verse 20. But just so you know where we're going, we've been speaking here. I'm kind of plodding along, making our way through 1 Peter this summer. And here now we find ourselves in the middle of chapter 2, and I want you to be able to study your Bible the same way. So I want you to see that where we are today fits into a larger section. And so look at verse number 13 in your Bible. You see how it says, submit yourselves. See that? And then look at verse number 18. It says, servants, be submissive. Okay? And then if you were to drop down to chapter 3 and verse number 1, it says, in the same way, ye wives, be submissive. And we'll get to that in a few weeks. All right? That's another message for another day. But I want you to see that what happens here, back up in chapter 2, verse number 12. You remember where we ended last week, and Peter had said, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles or among the nations. So that, what's the reason? In all things in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. And so what we've got here now is Peter is going to take this and kind of blossom it out for us a little bit. And he's going to say, okay, what are the good deeds? How is it that you're supposed to act in front of evildoers? And so he's going to, first of all, speak on a big level of how we deal with government and our nation. Then he's going to draw that down a little bit further to how we deal with our employers and our workplace. And then lastly, in a few weeks, we'll get to chapter 3, where he's going to narrow that down a little bit further and say, this is how you ought to please God and push away the evildoers in the way that you relate to your family. And so this morning, I was thinking about, you know, a lot of times I read these church growth books and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, sometimes people say, you know, building a church, location, location, location. Well, it kind of seems to me that if Peter was talking about how to build the Christian life, he would say submission, submission, submission. And it's not exactly the way that I would like to go, but it's where the text takes us, and I believe that it's applicable for the Christian life. So I want you to see this morning two of these submissions. First of all, we submit to the authorities that are above us, and second of all, we submit to our employer. All right, submission to the government and submission to our employer. All right, so look back down here at verse number 13. I'm going to read down through verse 17, and then we'll take it apart. Submit yourselves, or that word there, submit, means to render obedience, okay? Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution, or to every human creature or creation. It's talking about those institutions that were created by human hands, human institution, whether to a king as to one in authority, or to the governors as sent by this king for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. In verse 15, For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. So in this section here, I want you to see, first of all, this morning, three things about the submission to the government, submission to the authorities that are placed, these governmental institutions. I want you to notice, first of all, that we are to submit. Now, this past week when I was studying, I was talking to some other pastor friends of mine, and I said, man, that's a tough text. Because, you know, I can say as a church family in here, maybe you're sitting in here this morning and you're saying, well, I don't agree with the current government that we have. I don't like so-and-so. I don't like so-and-so. Have you seen all the corruption that's going on? Maybe you're not a wild fan of everything that's going on in the political realm. But what Peter does is he sidesteps all of that and says, it's almost if Peter says, on what you think. That's a Greek term right there, all right? Peter looks us in the face as Emmanuel Baptist Church, living in this context of America where we are, and says, I don't care what you think. Be a submissive, obedient Christian citizen. And you and I are supposed to take the cough syrup, put it in the tablespoon, and lick it clean. Now, church, that's not exactly where I wanted to start this morning, but that's what he's saying. Now look, is there room for all of us as believing citizens to disagree with our government? Sure. Can we even peacefully criticize styles of government? Maybe we're not wild about that. Can we even maybe do a peaceful protest? Is there room for us to voice our opinion as citizens in this country? Absolutely. Absolutely, we have that right, and that is a good thing. But I want to bring before you this morning that name-calling and tearing people down and bad jokes and all of that thing about the leadership of our government, we are not to do that. We are to render them some respect and some honor. We are to honor what is going on there. We are to be submissive and to be obedient Christians in our community, with our government, with our land, and we are to behave ourselves for Christ in His kingdom. Amen and amen. The truth of the matter is that we are to, that word there, submission, I've told you before, sub meaning to come under, mission meaning submission, the mission of somebody else. And so as we find ourselves as citizens in this land, we may disagree, we may voice our opinion, we may vote at the polls, but we have the responsibility as Christians in this land to behave like Christ would, with a Christly response, and love people and be submissive to those that are above us and in authority. These human institutions. Look back down here for a second. Look at verse number 13. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake. What is the driving reason behind our submission to our government? Not that they're worthy, not that they're good, not that they're even special people, but we do it for the Lord's sake because we're bringing glory to Him. And then look down here. Whether to a king as to the one in authority or to governors as sent by Him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. Now, folks, I want to tell you this, that the Bible teaches this not only here, but in Romans chapter 13, the Apostle Paul tells us, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but God, the powers that be or ordained of Him. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2, here's a couple of verses that take us really hard. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Well, now, who is all men? For kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And I had to sit there in my office this week, and I'm not just preaching to you something I haven't preached myself. And I've just got to say, man, Steve, am I praying for my president? Or am I criticizing him? Am I praying for my Congress and the House of Representatives? Or am I criticizing them? Am I tearing them down as human beings? Do you realize they were created in the image of God just like everybody in this room? We may not like it, we may not agree with them, but we need to pray for our leaders in this country. We cannot sit in this room on Sunday morning, criticize everything in the world, then go back to our house and never pray for our leaders. We want revival to break out. We want revival to pour into the streets of Raleigh. Are we praying for the leaders and the movers and the shakers of our community? We need to do that. We need to realize that we need to be submissive to their authority. Now, I want to bring your attention to something. Peter is writing here in this first century book to Christians that are being persecuted. And what does he say there? Submit yourself to the king, or you might have the emperor and the governors that he appoints. Do you know who Peter's talking about? Peter's talking about Nero, one of the worst Roman emperors that ever lived. He hated Christians. He persecuted Christians. He tore them down. He brought everything down upon them. And here we find Peter's writing a New Testament book, and he's saying, church, here's what I want you to do. Obey the ones that hate you. Obey the ones that are persecuting you. Submit yourself even though you're going through this trial. And I say that if it's right for Peter's crowd, it's right for our crowd. We're not taking that kind of persecution. We should be demonstrating the love of Christ to those that are above us in our governments, both local and national. It's not often you won't find this preacher preaching politics, and I'm not preaching politics this morning at all. I'm just simply bringing us right to the text, taking it right one step at a time, and that's what's next. And Peter says, here's what I want you to do. You want to put to silence the evildoers and the wicked people that say that Christians are worthless and no good and there's nothing good coming out of the church? If you want to put them to silence and bring glory to God, submit yourself to the government at hand and be a good, upstanding citizen. That's what the Bible's telling us right there. Now look back here at verse number 15. For such, now what is this? For such is the will of God. And I could see it this morning. I know, boy, I listen to all the worship and the praise, and in my mind, you know, as the pastor, I'm sitting over here thinking, man, I wish I could just get up and like chant, Jesus is wonderful, and everybody would be crying and happy. But the fact of the matter is, folks, that to be a good citizen of our community, to pay our taxes, not to bicker and fuss and fight and hate and tear down other people, to live that way fulfills the will of God. People come in the office all the time, you know, they want to know, Pastor, what's the will of God for my life? What am I supposed to do? Well, you know, there's a whole lot of things that you're supposed to do in your life, and God does have a plan for your life, and He wants to take you somewhere. But if you're a Christian this morning and you're saying, where do I start? How do I do the will of God for my life? Here's the first thing. First thing is, be a good citizen of your state. Be submissive to those that are in authority over you. Pay your taxes. Live well with those that are above you. And do right. Do right. And don't tear them down. As a kid, every time we'd go into a restaurant with my dad, if we went in a restaurant and sat down, if there were a couple of policemen sitting over at another table, my dad would always say, man, I'd be 4, 5, 6 years old. My dad would always take me over and introduce me to the police officers that were sitting there. And my dad would always look at me and he'd say, these guys are for your good. These guys love you. These guys are here. They're ordained of God to be in this place. And that stuck with me as a child. And as an adult, I respect authority now. I respect that office of police officers, those sheriffs, and those that are putting their lives on the line, and our firemen, all of those kind of people. Do we have corruption? Are there people in office that are wicked and shouldn't be there? Sure as the world, there are. But that doesn't take away from the fact that I'm supposed to be submissive to what's going on there. All right? So look back down here at verse number 15. For such is the will of God. And that here's the reason. That by doing right, you see, Bob Jones Sr. had it right. Bob Jones Sr. said, do right till the stars fall. And that's all you have to do with your life. As a Christian, just do right. No matter what comes your way, no matter what heartache or pain or what it's going to cost you or what people are going to think, just do right. And God will be happy. You don't have to please everybody in the world. You just have to please that man. You make him happy and everything else will fall into line. Look back down here at the text. For such is the will of God that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Look back up at verse number 12. It says, so that in things in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of redemption. How do we put to silence those people that think that Christians are fakes and frauds and hypocrites? We do it by being submissive. And by living like Jesus lived, the Bible says that he humbled himself, he became obedient to the death, even the death of the cross. And if Christ was obedient to the rulers that were in his day, then we should be obedient to the rulers that are in our day, looking to Christ as our ultimate Savior and sacrifice. Look back down here at verse number 16. Isn't this a beautiful contrast that Peter makes here? He's just now talking about submissiveness, and then he says, act as free men. Act as free men. What does that mean? You're free in Christ as a believer. The Bible says there's no condemnation to us, for we are in Christ Jesus. I'm no longer, it doesn't mean that you're free from, I'm free from sin. I'm free from wickedness. I am not the same person that I used to be. The bonds of sin have been broken by Calvary's cross. I am a free man this morning. And you're a free lady and a free man if you are in Christ Jesus. Act as free men. But look what it says there. He's quick to give it to you on the hills, but don't use it as an excuse for sin. There's an old King James word out of the book of Jude says lasciviousness. Lasciviousness simply means using the grace of God as a cover up for your own sin. You know, do whatever you do, it, act however you want to act, do whatever you want, and then say, well, I'm saved. Hallelujah. The grace of God. 1 John 1:9, I'll just confess it and forsake it and I'm okay. Don't use the grace of God as a cover up for your sin. You are free, free indeed in Jesus Christ. He's your Savior. You're not tied down to the life that you used to live. Shake yourself into the reality that you're a believer in Jesus, and the old sins that held you down, they don't hold you down anymore. You're free in Christ Jesus. But now look what the text says. Don't use it for evil to cover it up. But look what it says here. Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil. But here's the positive. Use it. But use it as a bondslave of God. And that's a transitional statement there, as a bondslave of God, because now we're about to go into this thing of servants and masters. But before we get to verse 18 through 20, I want you to see that Peter is saying here to the church, he's saying, I want you to be submissive to the government that's over you. You can act as a free man because you're free in Christ, but use your freedom and become a bondslave of Jesus Christ. A bondslave. A willing servant, that whatever Jesus asks you to do, wherever Jesus asks you to go, whatever Jesus wants you to do. Hey, look, we talk to our graduates this morning, and they're ready to go face the world and tackle life head on. And I'm telling you with all of my heart, you better tackle this life being a bond slave to Jesus. Sell your life out and become a servant of the King, and He will take care of you all of your life. He'll love you and bless you and help you and meet your needs. I once was a bond slave to sin, Paul said, but now I'm a slave to righteousness. You see, there really is no middle ground. You are either a slave to sin or you're a slave to Christ. And which is it for you? Maybe you're visiting with us this morning and you're in here and you're thinking, man, I just don't know. I'm not sure about Christianity and where to go. I'm telling you that Christ Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, was buried in the tomb, rose again the third day to free you from the sin and the shame and the wickedness that you've been living in all of your life, and so that you could turn and be a slave of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, if you sell your life out to Him and live for Him, you'll find all of the freedom that you could ever imagine. The greatest life you could ever live is being sold out to Jesus Christ. Submissiveness, being yielded to the authorities that are placed in our life. And now look down here at the text, verse 18 through 20. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds grace or favor. If for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under the sorrows when suffering unjustly, for what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor, or this finds grace with God. Now, when we look at these verses, the first thing that comes to mind, some people, when they say slaves and masters, we have this idea, and Peter is talking in a first century context. And what he's driving at here is this slave-master relationship. And as we bridge that into our context here in the 21st century, the only real understanding is a historical understanding that we have of slavery and masters. But I think what the text is trying to say here is that even to these believing slaves at the time, what is the exhortation? Be submissive. Be submissive. Be yielded. Now, folks, that's got to shake us. Because that goes against the grain. If you're anything like me, that goes against your grain, doesn't it? It goes against my grain. But can I tell you something? When Jesus Christ is the ruler of your heart, and you are in the hands of the King of the universe, you can be yielded. Because you're trusting in a power much greater and higher than anything this world has to offer. And so no matter how you're being treated, if your heart is in the hand of Christ, you're okay. Jesus suffered at the hands of Pontius Pilate, was beaten and crucified, and his heart beat was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Don't say this morning in your heart, "Well, I can't be like Jesus. There's no way I could suffer like that." Yes, you can be like Jesus. He's our example. He's the one that paved the way. He is the expeditioner who cut out the forest so that you could follow in the path of Christ. And I'm telling you this morning, maybe you're at a workplace where you're being put down for your color, or maybe you've not gotten the promotion that you thought you should have had, or maybe you're at a place where people are treating you wrongly and you don't like the people that you work with and nobody ever sees the good that you do. Maybe you're suffering. Suffer well. Because you're in Christ. You're in Christ. Look back down at the text with me. Be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but to those who are unreasonable. For this finds grace or favor with God. Now look here. You see the beginning of verse 19. For this finds favor. And then look at the end of verse number 20. It's this little bookend, this little box. Same phrase. This finds favor with God. Peter is trying to say that when you are in a place of suffering unjustly and you do it with a good heart and a right way, you are blessed and living in the grace of God. You know what grace is? You know what grace is? Some people say, "Well, grace is the unearned, unmerited favor of God." That's true. Grace is God in action in human life. God in action in human life. Every time you have an interaction with the Father, you've experienced grace because you have nothing in you that deserves Him to speak to you or act with you or be with you. God in action in human life. And when you are aware of the presence of the living God in your life and you're living in that kind of grace, you can suffer and go through many things in life. Now, these folks came up here and sang that song, brings me to tears. We press on, but we don't just press on by ourselves. We are not just living in the Christian life out of our own power and our own ability. We are not just trying to build Emmanuel Baptist Church for our own selves. We are not just trying to reach our community out of our own power. I'm not just wanting to preach out of my own power and my own ability and my own personality. I want to press on in my life with Jesus, in His grace, in His power, in His ability. And that's where you need in your life. Peter brings this church to a close here and he says, hey, let me explain something to you. Look back down here at the text. For this finds favor, verse number 19, for the sake of consciousness toward God, a person bears up under the sorrows when suffering unjustly. How can you suffer unjustly when you have a consciousness of God's mighty presence with you? And just like I've told you before, either He's real and we need to trust Him and live in His presence and sustain through the suffering and the hardships of our life, or He's not and we need to give up playing church and go do something else. But we believe according to the Scripture that God is with us. Amen? And that we should be submissive to the state authority and the governments that are above us. And we should be submissive to the authority at our workplace and those that are above us in our life. And how is it that we can be submissive? Even when those authorities aren't what we think it is, even when we suffer unjustly, even when we're passed over for something that we should have got, you don't have to be bitter. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to harbor bad feelings. All you simply have to do is to live in the presence of God. And if God is for us, who can be against us? You can do whatever you want to the outside of me, but you cannot take away the presence of Christ with me. And I want to encourage us this morning as a body, as you be submissive to our governmental powers. We're not in control of everything that's going on in the world or our national government or our state government. But no matter what all is going on there, I can be submissive. Why? Because I am in full confidence that God is in control. And at my workplace and at your workplace and in the ways of your life, you may not be in control of all those above you and what's going on, but you can be satisfied and living in the grace and the favor of God. Why? Because you're aware of His presence. And God is with our church. And He's with you. And if you're in here this morning and you say, you know what, I've never had that presence. I don't know what it's like. I don't even know if God is real. I'm telling you, this morning is for you. In just a moment, we'll have our altar call. And if you're wherever you're sitting, come down as the music begins to play. You come down and see me. God is real. He wants to meet you today. He wants you to put your faith in His Son, Jesus, who died for you so that you could step through the door of Christ into the relationship of the grace of God and know that He's real and that He'll put back the pieces of your life. Let's all stand. Our heads are bowed. Musicians are coming. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed as the musicians are taking their place. In just a moment, we'll begin to sing our hymn of response. Is there anybody in the room today? I won't call you out. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one looking around. You just say for just a moment, Steve, I'm not sure that I'm a believer. Would you pray for me? If you just lift your hand, I'd love to pray for you. Won't call you out. Won't do a thing like that, all right? All right, and so this morning, in just a second, as we play, when we look up on the screen, sing our song, we're going to open these altars. And you can respond by coming this morning to receive Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're new to the area, or maybe you've been here for a while, but you'd like to say, I want to identify with Emmanuel Baptist Church. I want to join this church today and lock arm in arm with these people as we reach our community for the gospel. You come today as well. Listen.